Go ahead and be turning your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start there in a moment. Man, it is hard to follow that. You know, it's been an amazing service already. There are definitely times when I just think, should I even come up there? It's just, you know, it's only going to go downhill from here. You know, it's been just amazing. Hamilton, thank you so much for that amazing communion message. I mean, I knew he was a great speaker. He's a Georgia Tech grad, so I knew it was going to be great. But man, you know, that was phenomenal. That really was phenomenal. So thank you so much for sharing your heart and letting the Spirit lead you to lead us in communion. I love how Doug and Kay just started it off, you know, just with energy, excitement, and every single time somebody says 2019, at least for today, we got to stop that next week. speaking of which, you know, so I was in the barber shop yesterday and I was having a conversation with the lady and we started talking about, you know, what is the cutoff for when you can stop saying Happy New Year? You know, is it January? Do you need to say Happy New Year every time you see somebody in January? Is it just the first week of January? Yes, somebody has conviction, you know, Damaris has conviction about that. Well, you know, she said to me, for me, it's just, well, it depends on the last time I saw the person. And she said, you know, it might be March. And I'm still saying Happy New Year to people. And I said, well, you know, I don't know about that. So we were having this conversation in Spanish. She was from Ecuador. And so I was thinking, you know, I haven't been a Spanish professor in a couple months now. And so I don't speak it every day like I used to. And I was thinking, maybe I'm just not understanding right. ¿Qué dices? ¿En marzo? You know? And she's like, yeah. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm just not going to do that. So if you've ever wondered, I got it down to a science. All right, got it down to a science. I put together this calculated formula and figured it out. And what I always say is, you know, when college football is over, you can stop saying Happy New Year. All right, so tomorrow night after Clemson and Alabama play, you can stop saying Happy New Year. I give you permission on Monday to stop saying Happy New Year. But what a way we really kicked off this year. What a way to end last year and start this year in prayer. So for those of you that don't know, we had 7 days of continuous prayer, 168 hours where we were on our knees, out in parking lots or at parks, in our closet, just praying to God, just pouring out our hearts to God. And, you know, it was amazing. I had two slots, both of which at 2 a.m., and I had two of the 2 a.m. slots, and it was great. I really had just an amazing time praying for my family, praying for this church, praying for people studying the Bible, just praying for God to really pour out his Spirit on this place. But one of the really cool things I think about doing this is talking to other people about what they did. You know, I don't know if you saw Rebecca Frey, she posted a picture and just talked about what she really did for her time and just getting open with God about her sin and singing songs. And when Natasha was praying upstairs, I just heard her singing and reading Psalms out loud and praying. And, you know, Steve Gooch, he's got his golf course that he goes to, his abandoned golf course, and he's posting pictures. And it was just so inspiring. I loved hearing or seeing what Victoria wrote about her time with Hannah. You know, the time that Victoria got with her daughter, and her and Hannah just prayed for an hour, and they sang songs, and it was just amazing. I mean, God is just so moved when we stop and just pray to him. So I appreciate Victoria starting us off. Appreciate Manny closing us out last night. You know, we had every slot filled. So that was awesome. That was great. So I hope that time with God recharged you, revitalized you, recommitted you. But ultimately, I hoped that you grew in your faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about faith. Let's read over in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the universe was made by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek them. You know, this passage of scripture has several different names that people call it. Some, you know, in Hebrews 11, they call it sometimes the Faith Hall of Fame. Or you might hear people say it's the Hall of Faith. You know, the title here on the Spanish side of my Bible says La Fe y sus Héroes, Faith and its Heroes. And if you read this chapter, these are stories of epic and legendary faith. These are stories of great things that God did through people who believed in him, who believed him. But before we start talking about the stories, this section starts off with one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Let's read it again together. Let's read it out loud. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We're going to look at this verse in a couple different translations. And as we do, I want you to think about, what does faith mean to you? How would you define it if you had to give a definition of what faith is? Here the Hebrew writer says it's an assurance. It's about assurance and it's about conviction. You know, faith is being sure, being certain, being convinced of something that you have hope for. But it's also about conviction, having a strong belief that God is who he says he is, that God does what he says he's gonna do. It's about conviction. Second translation, this is the one I memorized growing up. Let's read this together out loud. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, I love that word there, substance. Faith is something that you can smell, something that you can touch and you can taste. It's tactile, even if it's ephemeral, right? It's something that you can sort of touch it and taste it. And it's very interesting. Hamilton talked about memory. You know, we didn't share notes, but I kind of think of faith as reverse memory. So just like he was sharing today, when you think about memories and what can cause them, parents are here today, my family, my sister, they're here today. You know, I'm not a coffee drinker. I know your opinion of me just went down some, Tim, you know. I am not a coffee drinker, but I do love the smell. Whenever I smell coffee, what it makes me think of is growing up in my house. It makes me think of my mom getting up early to drive out to Cobb County for work. It makes me think of my dad making pancakes and grits and bacon and cream of wheat and all the different things he used to make. You know, when I smell coffee, it takes me back to my childhood. You know, I think about if you've ever gone back and seen your old high school, right? What happens when you drive by? You start thinking about stuff that happened there. You know, whenever I drive by my high school, I think about our senior prank. This is one of my last memories there. And it was kind of funny. We had dressed up in all black, a bunch of us. We dressed in all black. And we went up to the school at like 1 a.m. And we were going to do all these different things. And one of the things we were going to do is spray paint class of 99, you know, on the front lawn. And so we're out there, you know, in the wee hours of the morning. And every time a car would drive by, somebody would say, car. And we would all lay down. And here's the funny part. So afterwards, you know, the next day I come up and I realize, there's kind of a slope. Every time we lay down, we just look like a bunch of idiots. Like, they could totally still see us from the street, you know? But when I drive by, that's one of the memories. When I see my high school, by the way, senior pranks are fun, but be wise. Don't be stupid, okay? You know, but memories, what they do is they take you a place. And I think faith is sort of the reverse of that. Instead of something that's already happened, it makes you think about something that is going to happen. It's the same thing like a memory, except going forward. It's so real, you can smell it. It's so, you know, sweet, you can taste it. Faith is also about evidence. Talked about this before. You know, faith and fear have a lot in common. You ever heard that acronym? Fear is just false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. You know, both faith and fear require you to believe in something that's not there. You just choose which one you're going to believe. Faith and fear also have in common that they're both contagious. That was why I was so inspiring hearing people's stories about what they prayed about. Because I just got excited. I got fired up thinking, man, I want to do that when I pray. Or I want to do that next time I go pray. But you know, fear can be contagious too. It's great my sister's here. So growing up, I had three sisters. And, two of my sisters were deathly afraid of spiders. Deathly afraid of spiders. Like if a spider came down on her windshield while she's driving, she might get in an accident afraid of spiders. And so they were so afraid of them. As a kid growing up, I kind of was too. Just be honest, you know. I was deathly afraid of spiders. But when I got older and after I left the house, I just sort of realized these are eight-legged insects that I'm like a million times bigger than. Why am I afraid of these little creatures? But when I was in the household, because that was the environment, it was contagious. Faith is the same way. That's one reason why God wants us to be together and get together. It's not just about so you can come here and take communion and give your check to whatever. It's about we need to hear stories of faith that are going to inspire us. And so I want you to think about, and I want you to talk to people today about how it went with their prayer. Talk to them about their stories of faith. Another thing is we're going to read about some of these great stories of faith. Last one. Let's read this. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. You know, faith is reality. It's proof. Faith is not meant just to be feelings, but also facts. So what does faith mean to you? How do you define it? You know, somebody once said, hey, do you think $1 million exists? I'm like, sure. He's like, have you ever seen it? Well, no. Well, how do you know it exists? And I think it can be the same way with our faith about things. I've never literally seen $1 million together, but I know that it exists. I think it's the same way with our faith. You may not have necessarily seen something right in front of you, but it's a conviction, it's a reality, it's proof that it exists. And so as we talk about these great heroes of faith today, I want to put before you this year's theme for Cornerstone, the year for 2019, by faith. So last year we talked about being made new. And I feel like we could all say Cornerstone was made new in 2018. I mean, we've got different staff here than we had in 27. We've got different singers. We've got new faces, you know, a different spirit. You know, we were made new. But this year, what I want us to do is to try to live by faith. I want us to live by faith. And so, you know, we're going to go through some of these stories here all year. I already reached out to Steve and Robert Lingle and Jim Albert. Looks like I need to reach out to Hamilton too, see if he wants to do a whole sermon. You know, we're going to go through these stories in Hebrews 11 and see why are these the stories that were so inspiring that those in the folks in the New Testament said, these are the ones I want to point out. So we're going to be going through a series on by faith of all these stories in Hebrews 11. So my 2 points today, my sermon today is titled By Faith, but I got 2 points for you. Living by faith, there's point number one, the fun part. And point number two, the hard part. We're going to talk about the fun part and the hard part. So let's start with the fun, a little dessert before dinner here. We're going to start with the fun. So, you know, God is, as we read in verses 4, 5, and 6, he talks about creation. He talks about Cain and Abel. He talks about Enoch. And Enoch was a guy that had such great faith. God looked at this guy in his faith. He was so pleasing to God. He said, you know what? You're just not even going to die. I just wonder what that was like. It says he just walked with God and he did not see death. God just took him up because he was so faithful and so pleasing to God. Think about that. It makes, to me, it makes the cross even more powerful and impactful, because God could have not let Jesus experience that death. God could have just taken Jesus up or replaced him with somebody else or something like that. But he let him go through that. It makes the cross even more powerful. But thinking about Enoch, so pleased God that he didn't die. And after talking about that, we get to this verse, which is another one of my favorites. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I love this verse because it's literal proof that it's not about works. It's not about doing a bunch of stuff. It's about being. You know, no matter how much you do for God, what really matters to him is your faith. What matters to him most is your faith. It doesn't say without denying yourself, it's impossible to please God. Without sharing your faith every day, it's impossible to please God. Without doing this or doing that or giving contribution. No, it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so here's the fun part of faith, looking at this verse. You know, the fun part of living by faith is it gets you God's approval. It gets you God's rewards. You're pleasing to God. The fun part of the faith is the miracles, the mystery and the magic of it. I mean, think about creation. I like to think it's a little similar to Christmas. You know, when you open your Christmas present, you don't know what's in that box. I mean, you shake it. You think, okay, it's about this big. Maybe it's a PlayStation 4, you know. And you're thinking, you're like, what's in the box? And then when you open it, just the excitement and the joy. Or think about when you first turn on a new computer and it's got that black screen and then it comes up and you just see whatever background image, you know, Microsoft decided to put on the background there. And it's usually some really cool picture. And just imagine when creation happened, the first time a star appeared. You ever seen those time-lapse videos where they show a plant growing up? Just imagine that happening all at once when God let the seeds come up. Imagine God creating water. I mean, what a sight that must have been. I want you to think about Noah seeing a rainbow appear for the first time in the sky. That's one of the stories we're going to read. If you know the history of that story, it actually had never rained from the sky. It said the water used to just come up from springs from the earth to water the ground. And so when Noah said, hey, water's going to come and flood the earth, that's part of the reason people were like, that's not going to happen. Water's going to fall from the sky? Okay, Noah. And so people didn't believe him. And so can you imagine after the flood happens and that rainbow, the first time he sees those colors in the sky, and God says, this is my promise. This is my covenant. This is something I want you to remember that I will never, God says, I'm going to remember when the rainbow appears in the sky that the earth will never be destroyed by water before. I mean, those are the fun parts of faith. Abraham and Sarah having a kid in old age. You know, yesterday, Natasha was studying the Bible with a woman named Lucretia. You've seen her. She's got this really cute little baby named Reagan. And so she came over, and so I had to watch, Chloe and I and Noelle, we watched Reagan while they were studying. And I was, you know, Noelle saw me picking up the baby, and Noelle says, you know, I want to be one again. I said, I don't want you to. You know, the older I get, the more I think, man, I'm so glad we're done with the baby stage. You know, so yeah, let's visit with people that have babies and you get your fix, because that ain't happening anymore. The older I get, the more I'm like, no, I don't want small children. But Abraham and Sarah, in their old age, get a kid. Imagine how giddy they were. How fun it was. How her shame was taken away. That all came as a result of faith. And these stories are the good stuff, the fun stuff, the inspiring stuff. You know, it reminds me a lot of you in here. Think about Roger Bennett. Some of you might not even know. Roger lost his job, but he got another job within about 3 weeks. So fast that I was telling some people to pray for him, and by the time they prayed for him, he already had a new job. You know, I think about all the people that were baptized last year. That's the fun stuff. I think about seeing K. Karskallen in here. That's the fun stuff. If you go talk to Kinson, go talk to Carly about the story about them coming to work here. You know, if you talk to them, God did some amazing things to get them here. Think about Mary and Joe Hartline. Think about their marriage. I mean, you're talking about states apart, mature singles, right? And yet here they are, married and happily married. I think about the story I've told about getting a passport in one day. I mean, those are the fun stories of faith. Faith has this really fun side. And so God lists some of these stories with Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And then we get to the hard part. Let's read in verse 13. I'm going to read 13 down through 16. It says, all these, talking about Noah, Cain and Abel, or Abel, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob. It says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know what's the hard part of living by faith? You're going to be a stranger and an alien and an exile. You know, it's one thing to sing, this world's not my home, I'm just a passing through. It's one thing to sing it. It's a little different to live it. You know, when we confess Jesus as Lord at our baptism and said, I'm leaving behind this old life, I'm burying it in the waters of baptism, and I'm going to be covered with his blood, we too were confessing we're going to be strangers and aliens on this earth. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that faith without works is dead. You ever heard about Lotto Joe? Heard the story of Lotto Joe? So Lotto Joe, he's the guy, he had his business, and things just started going terrible. He's on the verge of losing his business, and so he prays to God, God, please help me win the lottery. I'm going to lose my business. Night passes, he doesn't win the lottery. So next day he prays again, God, please, I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose my car. Please just let me win the lottery, God. Lottery comes up again. He doesn't win the lottery. So finally he goes and he prays and he says, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm going to lose my business, my car, my house. Please, God, let me win the lottery. And he's just frustrated. So finally, you know, he doesn't win the lottery. He's just frustrated. He's on the verge of giving up. And sky opens and the voice of God himself talks to him and says, look, here's the deal, Joe. Can you meet me halfway? Buy a lottery ticket. You know, faith without works is dead. You know, faith requires action. And here's the deal. That action is usually an action that is going to marginalize you. Not always, but it can often marginalize you. It's going to make you, when you live by faith, it's going to make you a stranger and an alien on this planet. Practical examples. By faith, you're willing to let your kids be mad at you. No, you cannot watch that show. I know everybody else gets to watch it, but it's not appropriate. Sorry. I think about times when we were in the campus ministry and, you know, we were going out on dates sometimes, and very rarely, but sometimes we go to a movie. You know, you take a sister to a movie, and without fail, we would always either screen it or ask somebody else who had watched it first or go look up reviews and see, you know, if this movie has a lot of language, a lot of nudity or sex stuff, you know, we're not going to go see that movie. And people think that's weird. Some of you now are like, what? You did what? But you're a stranger or alien. You know, being a stranger or alien is tough. It's not easy. You're going to be distinctive and you're going to stand out when you live by faith. It's a different lifestyle. Tasha's department had a company part, or she had a company department party over Christmas, and they decided to host it at our house. And so as she's planning this meeting, she's planning it with a guy that used to be her manager, and he moved on to another department. And so they said, hey, we're going to have some food, we're going to have dinner, and we're going to play games. And so as they were talking about what they want to do, he said, I've got some games. Why don't we play, you know, Cards Against Humanity? And if you, yeah, exactly. You know, they're gamers. The Lanes are gamers. And they know that is just, it's not an appropriate game. A lot of sex references, a lot of bad language, a lot of innuendo, and just inappropriate stuff. And he wants to play this with coworkers. And so Natasha's like, no, we're not going to do that. And so he goes, you know, who's organizing this party? Mother Teresa? And so I said, look, when he gets here, you let him talk to me. You don't even worry about it. If it comes up, I'll deal with it. This is my house. And as for me and my house, right? But you have to risk being the person that they say, hey, you're Mother Teresa. And here's the deal. We had a great time just playing Taboo and playing Fishbowl and playing a bunch of other games that weren't crazy. And I remember Natasha saying, you know what? We need to show the world that it's possible to have a party, to have fun. Nobody has to be drunk or high. Nobody has to be sneaking off to a room to hook up. Like, that's what we're supposed to be, salt and light. But what happens is it's going to marginalize you. It's going to make you a stranger and an alien when you decide to live by faith. You know, think about your job. A couple weeks ago for our last men's midweek, which again, we're having men's midweek this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, man, come on out. Having men's prayer on Tuesday at 6:30 in the morning, come on out. But for our last men's midweek, Greg Dixon, I'd asked him to do a lesson about what he calls the Joseph principle. And what it means is when you're at work, yes, you want to be an awesome, excellent worker. You want to do a great job, but your work doesn't come before God. It doesn't come before your family. It doesn't come before the kingdom. And he was sharing just these awesome stories of how he's been very successful and he hasn't compromised. And it's one thing for Greg to say that, but ask Vicky if she ever felt like work came before her. Ask the kids. And we have. You know, that was his principle. And so it was so encouraging and inspiring to hear Mike Mathias and Jim Hanna, you know, these guys tell about times when they turned down more money. They turned down a relocation or a promotion because they felt like that situation wasn't going to be good for their faith. Amen. Now, if you're somebody that doesn't follow God, you're thinking, what? You did what? But that is what living by faith does. It makes you a stranger, an alien, an exile. You're different. You're distinctive. It's like Byron and Danielle's communion message a couple weeks ago around Christmas when they said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my finances, of my dating choices, of my marriage. Jesus is Lord of my job. There's no area of my life that Jesus is not Lord of. That's living by faith. And it is not easy. That's the hard part. But I love how he says here, you know, in Hebrews, he says, if they wanted to, they could have returned to their previous country. You know, God is not making you live this life. He's offering you a chance to live this life. Matter of fact, he paved the way by letting his son die a brutal and horrific death on a cross. But he's not going to make you do it. You always have the choice to turn back. Unfortunately, we've seen that. We've seen people fall away. We've seen people leave God. And that's part of it. That's part of the cross you have to bear, is sometimes you're doing what's right when nobody else is. Sometimes you're doing what's right when people that you love and care about choose not to do that. That's what living by faith is. That's why it's the hard part. You know, staying faithful and true to the course, even when those around you, even when you're the only disciple at your school, at your job, in your neighborhood, it's not easy. That's the hard part. But here's the deal. You look at these guys at the end of this verse, it said all these people that died, they died and they didn't even actually receive the promise. They just believed that God was going to do it for either later generations or sometime in the future. They were willing to give up all kind of stuff on a promise. And so the cool thing is we actually do receive the promise. We're going to talk about that moment in a moment. At the end of this chapter, we are beneficiaries of this promise. It says, therefore, because they lived like this, because they were willing to confess themselves as aliens and strangers in the world, it says, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I love that verse. You see, when you're not like everyone else, when you're an alien and a stranger here, it causes God great pride. I mean, isn't that just true? Think about your own family. When you have a kid, it means something that they have your last name. You grow up in the Kinsey household, you know what that means? You better have a sense of humor. You know? Because they're a fun family. It's going to be a fun time here. We're going to live life to the full. That's what that means. You grow up in the Lee household, you're going to work. Sam confirms that. Yeah. You know, you're going to be a hard worker. You know, you grew up in the Desir household, he's going to really want you to be a New York Giants fan. Although I heard Joshua, You're working on it. You know, he's a Patriots fan or something. But when someone carries your name, it means something. God feels the exact same way. If you're going to say, I'm a Christian, I wear the name of Christ, I'm a disciple of Jesus, that means you're going to live a certain way. That was the issue the Israelites had. He wanted them to be set apart, to be different, to be a blessing to other nations, but they kept wanting to be like everybody else. We need a king because everybody else has one. We need to have a specific place because everybody else has one. And God's like, no, let me be your God. Be distinctive, be different. Living by faith means you're going to live a different and distinctive life. Let's look at this idea further. The faith, the fun part versus the hard part. You know, both encompass living by faith. Down in verse 32, it says, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Man, that's the fun stuff. We love hearing about the war victories and conquering kingdoms and receiving back their dead and the miracles. This is the fun part. And that is a part of living by faith. It's going to be fun. I have never been happier than since I decided to say Jesus is Lord. My life has never been more fulfilled. It's fun. It's a fun lifestyle. Read the second half. He doesn't stop right there. Look what he says in verse 35. And others were tortured, not accepting their release, so they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. That's the hard part. You know, we have what's called, had a really great conversation with Paul Peeler about this. You know, a lot of times in church and just in life in general, we have what's called survivor's bias. And what that is we only hear the stories about people that came out good on the other side. We only hear the stories about people that struggled but overcame it. We only hear the stories about, oh, it all worked out in the end, and they lived happily ever after. We have a tendency to do that. You look in God's word, God's going to give you the real deal Holyfield. The good, the bad, and the ugly of what happened. And it doesn't mean that those people in the second half of this verse weren't living by faith. It doesn't mean the people that were rescued were more faithful. There are lots of you in this room that are faithful, amazing disciples, and some really terrible, jacked up stuff has happened in your life. Stuff just happened to you, not something you did, not a result of your sin, just bad stuff has happened. Whether it's losing children, getting sick, losing a job, it's the hard part. But it's amazing to see you all still here. Because that's what it means to live by faith. Not that God is going to always make me comfortable. Because here's the thing, comfort doesn't always get our attention. God promised us salvation, not comfort. There's a brother who's been really just going through some stuff. And I said, you know, I said to him, imagine going through all this without God, without the church. That's the thing about living by faith. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. So thinking at this point, man, come on, Fenton. Church is supposed to be uplifting and inspiring and rah-rah every Sunday. To me, the truth is uplifting and rah-rah and inspiring. But we're not going to end on this note. Look at how this chapter ends. It says in verse 40, because God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. You know, here's the deal. We are the recipients of the promise. These folks were waiting on a Messiah. They were waiting on the time of the Spirit. They were waiting on the kingdom of God being established on earth. We get to live in that.
Those are the promises that we received. God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless your descendants. He didn't get to see it. Moses didn't enter the promised land, but we get to because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so when you keep reading, remember, in the original Bible, there weren't chapters and verses. Look at how chapter 12 starts. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He said, all these people, they're watching you. They're cheering you on. Abraham's like, I see your faith, Victoria Lane. I'm fired up. You prayed with your daughter, Hannah. Says, Barry Jennings, I see your faith. I see you overcoming. Moses is like, I love that. Joshua's looking at Steve and Betsy like, you guys are in the fight. Sam Calloway. David's like, I see you fighting. I see you there today. We've got this great crowd of witnesses that's saying, live by faith. You guys are living in the promised land, in the promised time. Just keep going. Don't give up. And then he gives us the why. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus went through these same two parts too. The fun part, the joy set before him. The hard part, enduring the cross and scorning its shame. And so we're going to close out here with a great verse that Jesus tells about faith. The ushers are going to come around, and they've got something I want to pass out to you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to turn out here. So in this story, Jesus goes up to the mountain for the transfiguration. And while he's up there, this man comes to his disciples and they try to cast out this demon and they can't do it. And so what happens is Jesus comes back down and they're like, hey, Jesus, can you cast out this demon? Your disciples couldn't do it. And he's like, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long do I have to live with you? Now Jesus got a little, his feathers were a little ruffled. And then so later on, the disciples ask him, well, why couldn't we do it? And so over in Matthew chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So I did. What the ushers are passing out now is I wanted to give you all a mustard seed. Have you ever wondered what a mustard seed looks like? When Jesus said, hey, you need to just have a mustard seed amount of faith. Well, I ordered a bunch. And they're passing them out now. I want you to, the little slip, use it as a bookmark for your Bible. What I've seen people do before is take it out and tape it on the cover. So every time you open your Bible, you're like, this is the amount of faith I need. As a reminder, in 2019, that God is going to do great things in your life and at Cornerstone by faith. You know, Ron talked about we're going to have 10 days of fasting at the end of the month. Well, what I want us to do until the 20th, I want you to start thinking about and talking about and praying about impossible prayers. I want you to start writing them down. What are some things that you know it is not possible for you to do? But if you go to God with just a mustard seed of faith, he can do it. And so when we fast, we're going to just be imploring God, God, please do these things. We want to humble ourselves before you. Because this sometimes just doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. We had an awesome, amazing 7 days of prayer. Now we're going to do some fasting. But as we go through this year, I want you to think that God can do impossible things and really start thinking about it, start talking about it, start praying about it. So what I want you to remember, we talk about faith, the fun part, and faith, the hard part. Remember that faith pleases God. But faith in God is also going to make you an alien and a stranger here. And that's tough. But ultimately, I want you to remember that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, even only just a mustard seed worth, nothing will be impossible for you. Thank you. Amen.